This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Have you ever heard of a king who possessed the gift of wisdom, but whose harem of 1,000 women was his downfall? This is the story of Solomon, the wisest, richest, and most powerful king in biblical history. The king who made Israel great, but had one weakness, women. His desire for women clouded his judgment. Although Solomon had everything to be Israel's best king, he ended up being the worst. God granted Solomon the gift of wisdom, allowing Israel to become a powerful kingdom, filled with riches and trade relations with distant realms. However, his harem was a lush garden consisting of 700 wives and 300 concubines, each coming from a different corner of the known world. Princesses from Egypt with mysterious eyes, ladies from Moab, women from Ammon, Edom, and Sidon, each with their own stories and dreams entwined in Solomon's magnificent court. Solomon's harem became a labyrinth of political intrigues and fragile alliances. With each union, Solomon sealed pacts that ensured his kingdom's peace, and each woman brought a piece of her homeland, transforming the palace into a living tapestry of mixed cultures. But these unions were a double-edged sword, for they also brought the gods and practices of their countries, challenging Israel's pure faith. So, was his harem of 1,000 women the reason for his downfall? In this video, we will explore the story of Solomon, from his incredible legacy of wisdom to his fall. Was he really capable of controlling demons? What consequences did his death have for the kingdom of Israel? Don't forget to subscribe to the channel and activate notifications so you don't miss the incredible biblical stories. Let us begin in the ancient city of Jerusalem in the year 990 BC, where a new prince was born. His name was Solomon, which means peaceful and friend of God. Solomon was conceived in the relationship between Bathsheba and King David, the valiant shepherd who defeated Goliath and whom you have certainly heard of. But Solomon's story began marked by a dark secret, the adulterous relationship between King David and Bathsheba, who was then married to Uriah, a valiant soldier in David's army. In a desperate attempt to conceal his sin, the king sent Uriah to war, ordering the other soldiers to leave him unprotected on the battlefield. As expected, Uriah met his death in combat. However, God's eyes were not blind to the king's actions. The death of David and Bathsheba's first child was seen as a divine judgment, a punishment for the committed adultery. But amidst the sorrow and repentance, God showed his mercy, forgiving King David. And from this reconciliation, Solomon was born, a peace offering between heaven and earth. The young prince grew up under the tutelage of a wise and enigmatic man, the prophet Nathan. While King David managed the kingdom's affairs, Nathan became Solomon's mentor and guide, shaping his mind and spirit with profound teachings and divine revelations. Nathan, with his penetrating gaze and calm voice, saw in Solomon an extraordinary destiny. Through his eyes, the prophet perceived the spark of wisdom and the promise of greatness burning in the young prince's heart. But Nathan also harbored a dark secret. He knew the full story of the adultery between David and Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. With cunning and determination, Nathan decided to use this knowledge to his advantage. In private audiences with King David, Nathan began sowing the idea that Solomon was destined to be the heir to the throne. With carefully chosen words and prophetic visions, the prophet convinced the monarch that choosing Solomon was God's will. And thus, little by little, David began to see in his youngest son the promise of a glorious future. As David grew ill and neared his death, he mustered the strength necessary to reaffirm his decision and name Solomon as his legitimate successor. However, the young Solomon, only 15 years old, knew that his reign was born under the shadow of threat. His father's warning words echoed in his ears, reminding him to be alert to possible enemies who might conspire against him. With a resolve that exceeded his age, Solomon embarked on an extensive purge to secure his power. Joab, David's chief general, who had supported Adonijah's claim to the throne, was one of the first victims of the purge. Thus, Solomon made it clear that no one was safe from his relentless justice, and soon eliminated Adonijah, cutting off any possibility of conspiracy against him. The young king did not stop there. With a strategic vision that surpassed his age, Solomon set out to strengthen the kingdom's military might and embarked on forging an alliance with the powerful Pharaoh of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter as his first wife, sealing a pact that promised to strengthen ties between the two nations. The union with the Egyptian princess, wrapped in silks and exotic jewels, was a success. Unfortunately, Solomon believed that marrying powerful women from other kingdoms was the fastest way to grow his realm. This thought would later haunt him. On a quiet night, while the young King Solomon rested in his bed, he plunged into a deep and revealing dream. In that dream, God appeared before him and, with a resonant and gracious voice, said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon, with a humble heart and aware of the immense responsibility that lay upon him, replied, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Solomon's request pleased the Lord, who recognized the purity of his heart and his desire to govern with wisdom. God, satisfied, responded, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Thus Solomon awoke from his dream, carrying with him the most precious gift a ruler could desire, the wisdom and discernment granted by God. This divine encounter marked a turning point in Solomon's life, enabling him to lead his people with unparalleled justice, compassion, and understanding. Solomon's wisdom became legendary, attracting people from all nations who wished to hear his words and learn from his knowledge. As it is written, "And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart." This wisdom was reflected in a memorable day when two women presented themselves before King Solomon, both claiming to be the mother of the same baby. With tears in their eyes and choked voices, each recounted their version of the story, pleading for justice and recognition of their motherhood. The disputed baby lay in the arms of one of the women, while tension in the throne room increased. Solomon, with the wisdom granted by God, listened attentively to both women. Then, with a penetrating gaze and firm voice, he pronounced a sentence that left all present astonished. "Bring me a sword, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." A sepulchral silence invaded the room as the attendees held their breath at the king's shocking proposal. The true mother of the child, with a broken heart and overflowing love, exclaimed, "O my lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it." In contrast, the other woman, with unsettling coldness, accepted the division of the baby. At that moment, Solomon revealed his final verdict. "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." The king's wisdom triumphed, unmasking the truth and protecting the innocent life. The true mother, driven by unconditional love, preferred to renounce her child rather than see him die, while the imposter revealed her lack of empathy and maternal care. The news of this extraordinary judgment quickly spread throughout the kingdom, and the people of Israel were amazed at the divine wisdom that resided in their king. As it is written, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." This episode became a lasting testimony to the wisdom and discernment that God granted to Solomon. His ability to administer justice with acumen and compassion earned the respect and admiration of his people, consolidating his reign and leaving a legacy that would transcend generations. However, the people still clung to ancient traditions, sacrificing in high places, on makeshift altars under the open sky, for a temple dedicated to the name of Jehovah had not yet been erected. So Solomon decided to build Israel's first temple. Without the necessary means to realize his grand vision, he embarked on a mission to forge a strategic alliance with Hiram, king of Tyre, a city renowned for its construction prowess and wealth of natural resources. Solomon sent messengers to Hiram with a bold proposal. "Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name." Hiram, recognizing Solomon's greatness, enthusiastically accepted the proposal and committed to providing the necessary cedar and cypress wood, as well as the skilled labor of his talented craftsmen. In exchange, Solomon would send food and other goods to Tyre, establishing a mutually beneficial exchange. With the materials obtained thanks to the alliance with Hiram, Solomon began the construction of the temple in Jerusalem, a project that would last 7 years. The construction was carried out with unmatched precision and beauty, following divine instructions. As it is written, "And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. Every detail of the temple was carefully planned and executed, from the foundations to the most delicate ornaments. The walls were lined with cedar wood, and pure gold covered every surface, creating a sacred space of unparalleled splendor. So Solomon built the house, and finished it, and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. But Solomon's vision did not stop at the temple. For 13 years, the king also dedicated himself to building his own palace, a majestic structure that reflected his power and wealth. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. Solomon's palace was an architectural masterpiece, with spacious halls, imposing columns, and lush gardens. Every detail was designed to impress and reflect the king's greatness. All these were of costly stones, according to the measures of huge stones, sawed with saws, within and without, even from the foundation unto the coping, and so on the outside toward the great court. The construction of the temple and Solomon's palace not only transformed Jerusalem's physical landscape, but also solidified Israel's status as an economic powerhouse. Solomon's fame for wisdom and wealth spread like wildfire throughout the known world. Kings and queens from distant lands longed to meet the legendary monarch who had transformed Israel into a prosperous and powerful nation. Among them stood out a figure for her audacity and determination, the Queen of Sheba. Intrigued by the tales she had heard, the Queen of Sheba embarked on an epic journey to meet Solomon in person. With an impressive entourage and exotic gifts, she arrived in Jerusalem, determined to test the king's wisdom. But Solomon, with his sharp mind and divine knowledge, answered each of the queen's questions with astonishing clarity and depth. The queen was amazed, recognizing that Solomon's wisdom exceeded all she had imagined, and said to the king, "It was a true report, which I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom, Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Solomon's wisdom was not his only impressive attribute. His wealth and splendor were equally legendary. Gold, silver, and precious stones abounded in his kingdom, and his throne was a masterpiece of ivory and pure gold. Israel's prosperity under Solomon's reign was evident in every corner of the kingdom. Trade flourished, and abundance overflowed on all sides. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. But Solomon was not only a wise and prosperous king, he was also a writer inspired by God. Through his literary works, he captured divine wisdom in words that would transcend the centuries. The books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, attributed to Solomon, became gems of biblical literature, offering practical advice, deep reflections on life, and the celebration of pure love. In Proverbs, Solomon shared pearls of wisdom that would guide future generations. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Ecclesiastes, he reflected on life's fleeting nature and the importance of seeking God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And in Song of Solomon, he celebrated the beauty of love and intimacy between a man and a woman. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Thus, Solomon, the wise and prosperous king, left a legacy that would transcend generations, a testament to God's favor upon a man who sought truth and justice in a world often shrouded in darkness. But amid his greatness and wisdom, Solomon made a grave mistake. He succumbed to the temptation that would lead him down a dangerous path. Despite God's warnings, the king allowed himself to be seduced by the love of foreign women, amassing a harem unmatched in history, as it is written, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. The majestic palace of King Solomon, a labyrinth of stone and cedar, concealed within its walls a secret as vast as his wisdom. A harem of 1,000 women, from Ethiopian princesses with ebony skin to the daughters of pharaohs, whose eyes held the mysteries of the Nile. Each woman was a world, a story, a riddle that the king delighted in discovering and understanding. Every corner of the palace echoed with their laughter, whispers, and songs. They were not mere shadows in his court. Each had her place in the vast political and cultural tapestry of the kingdom. However, this intricate web of relationships was also a minefield of intrigues and jealousies, where each favor from the king could ignite rivalries that silently smoldered in corridors, adorned with exotic tapestries. But the splendor of his court and the diversity of his harem also brought their own shadows. Foreign gods infiltrated Jerusalem with their priestesses and rituals, challenging the monotheistic faith of the people of Israel. Statues of Ashtoreth and Baal began to appear in the high places, while Solomon, caught in the web of his marital alliances, found himself increasingly distant from the laws of his ancestors. Solomon, the man who had built the magnificent temple in Jerusalem to honor the God of Israel, now erected altars for Ashtoreth, Milcom, and Molech, abominable gods of neighboring nations. Idolatry had taken root in his heart, clouding his judgment and distancing him from the divine wisdom that once distinguished him. Then the Lord, seeing Solomon's wayward heart, was filled with anger and sorrow. He who had been blessed with incomparable wisdom and wealth had turned his back on God's commandments and given himself to the worship of false gods. God, in his righteous indignation, confronted Solomon and warned him of the consequences of his actions. For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee. I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant." God's warning resounded in Solomon's ears like deafening thunder. The kingdom he had built with such care and wisdom would be divided and given to others after his death. Disobedience and idolatry had sown the seeds of discord and fragmentation in the nation that had once been united under his reign. Solomon, the wise and prosperous king, had succumbed to temptation and strayed from the righteous path. His example became a warning for future generations, a reminder that even the wisest and most powerful can fall when they turn away from God's precepts. As it is written in Proverbs, one of the books attributed to Solomon, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The consequences of Solomon's idolatry and disobedience did not take long to manifest. Adversaries arose from within and outside his kingdom, seeking to take advantage of the king's spiritual weakness for their own ends. Among them stood out Jeroboam, a servant of Solomon, who had been secretly anointed by the prophet Ahijah to rule over 10 tribes of Israel. As it is written, "And said to Jeroboam, Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee." Jeroboam, aware of his prophetic destiny, rebelled against Solomon and sought the opportunity to take the kingdom from him. The wisdom and prosperity that once characterized Solomon's reign were now threatened by division and discord. However, Solomon, in a moment of clarity and repentance, turned his heart back to God, recognizing the futility of his idolatry and the vanity of his earthly desires. The wise king poured his soul into the book of Ecclesiastes, a poignant testimony of his search for meaning and purpose in life. With words laden with emotion and wisdom, Solomon reflected on the ephemeral nature of human existence. "Vanity of vanities," saith the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Through his writings, the king shared his internal struggles, his disappointments, and his eventual understanding that only in God can true satisfaction and meaning in life be found. Ecclesiastes became Solomon's legacy of wisdom, a reminder for future generations that the pursuit of happiness in material things and worldly pleasures is ultimately vain and empty. Only by placing God at the center of our lives can we find the peace and purpose we so desperately seek. After a reign of 40 years, Solomon, the wise and prosperous king, drew his last breath. When Solomon closed his eyes for the last time, he left behind a legacy of splendor and wisdom, but also a kingdom on the brink of fragmentation. His son, Rehoboam, ascended to the throne, inheriting a kingdom already showing signs of fragmentation and discord. Solomon's death marked the end of an era of unprecedented splendor and wisdom in Israel's history. However, his legacy would endure through his writings and the lessons his life taught. Despite his faults and errors, Solomon would continue to be remembered as a king whose wisdom and wealth dazzled the world and whose final repentance demonstrated the importance of keeping God at the center of our lives. There is, however, an intriguing addition to Solomon's story that does not come from the Bible, but is developed in apocryphal texts and writings such as the Testament of Solomon. According to these traditions, Solomon was not only a wise king and a prodigious builder, but also possessed a magical ring known as Solomon's Ring. This ring, supposedly given by the Archangel Michael, granted him the power to summon, control, and expel demons. Solomon used these powers to compel demons to perform tasks or help in the construction of the temple in Jerusalem, among other things. These accounts are imbued with symbolism and should be understood within their cultural and religious context. They reflect the interest and fascination with supernatural abilities, attributing to Solomon's skills that amplify his already legendary wisdom and power. Thus, Solomon's story became a testament to the highs and lows of human life, to how even the wisest and most powerful can fall into temptation and sin, but also to how God's grace and forgiveness are always available to those who repent and seek his face. Solomon's journey teaches us that regardless of our achievements and abilities, it is vital to remain faithful to divine precepts. His life shows us that true wisdom does not reside only in knowledge or wealth, but in the ability to maintain a humble and obedient heart to God. As it is written in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Solomon, despite his temporary departure, leaves us a legacy that repentance and the pursuit of righteousness are paths to reconciliation with God. Even in the darkest moments, there is always an opportunity to return to the divine light. Through his writings, Solomon warns us about the futility of earthly pleasures and the need to seek a higher purpose in God. His life, with all its complexities, is a mirror for us. We can see reflected our own struggles and the constant need for divine guidance. Solomon's story reminds us that regardless of our failures, we can always find redemption when we turn to God with a sincere heart. Just as Solomon, each of us faces challenges that test our faith and integrity. The important thing is to remember that God, in His infinite mercy, is always ready to welcome us back, granting us the wisdom and strength necessary to follow His ways. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." May we learn from Solomon's story, always seeking divine wisdom and keeping our hearts aligned with God's teachings. May his life inspire us to be better, wiser, and more devoted in our spiritual journey. And to learn more about stories of transformation and faith, don't forget to watch the next video about the Apostle Paul. His journey from persecutor to one of Christianity's greatest preachers is a powerful testament to the grace and redemption we find in God. Don't miss it.